we can't always do what we want. I have to, like, there's a base requirement to make some money. And it's like other things that you might want in your life is to retire at some point and to be able to pay for your kids' college or to, you know, go on some vacations. And like all of this stuff requires money, and there's no way around that. Hey, what's up, everybody? GP13 here, kind of going back to my roots with the first solo podcast in a while. Had like a little bit of a break because I had some technical difficulties with the last guest recording, and then I was waiting to release till I had my Twitter account back, but that hasn't happened. You know, I like to like throw out the teasers on there and get some, you know, get some hype for the guests that are coming on. So I decided, you know, I've had people hit me up saying, you know, when's the next podcast dropping? And there's been some solo ones I've wanted to do. So I felt like it was a good time to do that. And this one's one I've thought about for a while. It's called Choose the Game You Play. And it doesn't apply just to gambling. I think a lot of how I've come to think this way was because of gambling, specifically poker and now sports betting. But I think it's had major applications outside of, you know, my professional life, which would be betting, and more in my personal or just overall life. So I thought about this, and I wanted to do this episode because recently I had someone I was talking to, very well respected in the industry, and they said, hey, you know, you seem very calculated. I was like, interesting. Like, I don't know necessarily if that's a compliment, if it's not, but, you know, I started to think about it. I was like, am I calculated? And I would say, yes. I would say this person made a good observation. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, I do almost everything I do for a reason. I'm always optimizing for something, and I'm quick to, you know, decide if something's worth it or not worth it and just kind of cut it. You know, I don't really waste a lot of time. So in that sense, I think, yes, I am calculated. It, in a way, it wasn't a calculated decision to become calculated, but I think I've gotten positive reinforcement for becoming more structured, more calculated, more thoughtful about not just sports betting and, you know, what to bet on, but how I organize and optimize my life around my career, around my profession. And I think what I do that's different than I used to do, and the difference between me as a successful sports bettor and me as like a mediocre poker player, was that is being calculated, is having a bigger plan, and what I call it, choose the game you play. And what I mean by that is like, I think that we often don't understand that we're playing a game that's bigger than sports betting or playing poker or blackjack. And specifically, we're playing a game where we want our sub game, our profession, you know, our, it could be our, you know, a lot of people listening to this are sports bettors, so sports betting, right? But, you know, your job, your entrepreneurial pursuits, like that's a sub game that should be feeding an overall, a bigger picture game that we're playing and bigger picture stuff that we're optimizing for. So I'll give you an example from sports betting that was popular discourse. It was like, I was on Twitter a while ago and someone was like, who's better, or, you know, something like this. It's like the person that makes the most money sports betting, but they're betting top down, or somebody who wins, but they're bottom up. And basically, I think the right answer is, it depends. It could be either, but you have to, if you're betting bottom up and you're making less money than someone who's betting top down, the only way that that's actually serving you better is if you truly enjoy bottom up betting and it's part of your bigger plan. Like you're like, hey, like one thing that I value in my life is a challenge or, you know, data analytics, something like that, and solving interesting problems. So you're like, I like bottom up betting because of that, because it fulfills that, you know, learning about sports and learning about statistics, part of my life that, you know, I'm conscious in pursuing. If you just think you want to be a bottom up bettor because a few people on Twitter like make fun of top down bettors, then that's not a good reason. Then you should just be a top down bettor if that's going to make you more money. Because when all is equal, just take the money, right? Like that's going to have better, that's going to serve you better in your overall picture. If one, you know, if everything else is equal, having more money is better than having less money. So when I saw that debate, I was like, it seemed to trigger a lot of strong feelings. And it just seemed very simple to me, like what the right answer was. It's like the money, unless you really like bottom-up betting, then bottom-up betting, if that's consciously something you want to pursue in your life. It seems as simple as that. And that's what having and stepping aside and thinking about what you actually want and why, how, you know, betting or, you know, entrepreneurship or whatever fits into your life. What does it serve? What it should be providing you, like a positive impact, right? So you have to first set out to decide what you're solving for, what outcomes you want. Set up the bigger game so that you can understand how to best approach the smaller games to win the bigger game. And the bigger game is, you know, basically just have a life that you enjoy. So I'm going to talk about when I was playing poker. And when I was playing poker, I was a good player, but I wouldn't say I was successful outside of being a good poker player. Like I wasn't, you know, I was kind of single, you know, drinking a bunch, smoking a ton of weed, didn't have much in terms of like savings, financial stability, didn't think much about my future, but I was a good poker player. Whereas now I'd say those are all reverse. And the big difference is I didn't really at the time have like a direction or something bigger than poker that I wanted to accomplish. And I certainly wasn't using poker as a tool to accomplish bigger things in my life. Poker kind of was my life, and I filled the rest of it because there was nothing else I was really aiming for, kind of aimlessly and suboptimally. So, you know, when I was playing poker, I would go through these bursts of studying. I would study a ton. I would play a ton. I would really sharpen my skills for like a month, have some really good results, and then kind of burn out. And once I burned out, I didn't really have anything pushing me to want to keep going through those periods of boredom. You know, to me, poker was supposed to be like something that I wanted to do. And if I didn't want to do it, why do it? And it wasn't like, oh, because I'm trying to save up to buy a house. Oh, because I have, you know, a wife that, you know, I want to contribute to our family, or I want to, you know, whatever, donate to this cause, or I want to build, you know, for financial retirement, or, you know, whatever it is, right? There wasn't anything there. So I would just like, just stop playing for a week, smoke weed, you know, whatever. And, you know, it was fine, but it was like not sustainable, right? And it never, despite being a good poker player, like I think this is where a lot of people get hung up, because being a winning gambler is hard, but I promise you that you're not going to get anywhere with gambling as a career unless you fix the outside life leaks and you aim that career towards something, because gambling is a very emotionally stressful career path. And you could say like sub in, if you're listening to this and, you know, somehow you're not really a better whatever, you can sub in entrepreneurship for gambling, right? It's basically the same thing. So, but it's a very stressful life path. And if you're not pointing it at something and you don't have a bigger picture reason for doing it, you're going to get sucked up in the swings. And just like me, if I got frustrated or bored, I would kind of stop playing, and it made it impossible for me to create a stable life, right? So I really recommend that, you know, everyone's going to be like, oh, just win. Or like, you know, people will say like, oh, whatever, it's kind of fluffy advice or whatnot. But it's like, as somebody who lived both sides of this coin, being a winning gambler in both cases, I promise you, being the winning gambler to me was the easier part than being somebody who was able to create like stability and point that in the right direction. So that's, this podcast is going to be a little more personal, a little bit about how I shifted my mindset towards allowing or using gambling in a way that it was like making my life better, or like basically creating a career out of it, creating financial stability out of it. And I think what's interesting is in both cases, like, you know, I was learning poker. You know, my coach was one of the best heads up single players in the whole world. And, you know, I had him in my corner. I had all of the resources. Like, he was backing me, or him and, you know, his partners were backing me. They were coaching me. There's no reason that I shouldn't have been like a wildly successful poker player. My skills were pretty solid within the games I specialized in. But like, the point is that I didn't have a chance because I wasn't approaching it the right way. And I wasn't thinking I didn't have the right mindset, the right like life goals and structure to actually take advantage of being a good gambler or having access to good information in the space. And what's sad was at the time, I really didn't take any accountability. And I think that was one of the first big shifts is, you know, I just started, because it's easy to not take accountability in gambling. Oh yeah, like I didn't win, but you know, so-and-so is only winning because they're lucky or because they know so-and-so, or they get into that game, or lists of excuses. But I realized like it doesn't fucking matter, right? Like getting, if someone's winning because they're in a private game and you're not in a private game, well, go get in the private game. Oh, you can't? Well, clearly it's a skill to get in that game, and you have to put some time and work into it, or whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? I wanted others to think I was like a good poker player, or like a smart poker player. So I would, you know, too often battle against regs and low, battle against, basically that would be like playing really strong opponents and play them for a large period of time when I could have been playing easier games and making more money. You know, I wanted to be seen as cool or, you know, one of the best players, more than I wanted to make money or, you know, create some kind of financial stability for myself, which was so dumb. Because in that case, you're literally letting what other people think dictate your decisions and create a worse life for you. So that was me, like, as a poker player, just kind of had everything wrong mindset-wise. And it took being exposed to sports betting, I think, to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel and feel like, oh, this is something that could fit into what I want out of life. And I'll kind of talk about the transition into sports betting and how my mental setup there and my, you know, I guess being calculated came when I saw what was possible in sports betting, and kind of having gone through poker and been come out of it with basically, you know, nothing to show for it. You know, you go, you know, scrape by and come out of it with basically no bankroll. You're like, well, that's got to change. You know, I'm 20 something years old and I'm not going to just be able to play online poker every year until I die. So I need to have some money left over after each year, you know, that was a realization too. So coming kind of that fire lit, you know, got that fire lit under my ass from poker and then sports betting. I think there are a few things that I saw in sports betting that helped me think that there was a better, that there was a good opportunity here to achieve the life I wanted to achieve. And first I had to define what that was. You know, I didn't want sports betting to dictate that. I wanted to dictate that, what I wanted to achieve, and then let sports betting fill that hole, right? And that could be the same for whatever. It doesn't have to, again, it doesn't have to be sports betting. Think of it as your career, you know, your work, entrepreneurship, whatever it is. So when I saw sports betting, I was like, okay, so brief kind of intro of how I got into sports betting. It was through my poker backers, doing some work for them. At first doing a little DFS work for them and then doing some work with golf betting. And they kind of showed me the ropes of how sports betting works and kind of what was available. And I was thinking, okay, like I kind of like this, but I had to take a step back and take a bigger look and be like, do I even want to be in gambling at all? Do I want to be in betting at all? Or, you know, do I want to go do something else? And I thought about like, okay, what are some of my favorite days? I think that's a good way to, if you're trying to be objective about this, a good way to do it is be like, hey, can I remember, are there any like fun days I had that kind of stick out in my recent memory? And I think like basically any fun day I had. So I used to be a trader too at some point. And I would go into the office and I liked the office, but I liked the people I worked with, but I hated being in the office. And I literally never had one of those days be one of my favorite days just because like I couldn't stand being in an office. And then I like to think about, okay, well, what was I doing in some of my fun days? Usually it was hanging out with a small group of close friends or doing something active or doing something that was intellectually stimulating, solving a problem. I was like, okay, that's doable, you know, that's almost doable in poker. And then I was like, okay, well, we can't always do what we want. I have to, like, there's a base requirement to make some money. And it's like other things that you might want in your life is to retire at some point and to be able to pay for your kids' college or to, you know, go on some vacations. And like all of this stuff requires money and there's no way around that. We all know this to be true, though. We know this to be the case. So when I was kind of thinking, does sports betting fit the bill for me here? I had to think, okay, well, how much money is there in this, right? And not just how much money is there in this today, but you know, what's the outlook for the industry and how much money not is in this, but do I think I could make in this? And is there somewhere else that I can make more money? And that comes down to what are your strengths? What are your experience? Now, this is where a lot of people would be like, oh, you should go get a normal job, right? Like that's a good idea. And I don't think that's good advice in this situation because I don't think I'm necessarily good. I don't have like the experience in what you call normal. If you think trading is a normal job, then okay, sure. But it's not really. It's the same thing kind of as gambling for a living with a slightly more structured pay. But getting a real job, it's like, okay, what real job should I get? Be an accountant? Okay, then I would have to go study, you know, for XYZ thing, and I would have to take time out, and I don't think that necessarily I would even make more as an accountant than I would as like a focused poker player. Okay, you know, but could then, is the ceiling higher? Maybe you're a CFO, but like at that point, you're sacrificing a lot of other things. Like I'm in the office a ton. I'm not really in control of my time. I'm not, you know, I would say present with my family and loved ones, right? So you know, something I really wanted was to be in control of my own time, even if it required me to work some extra hours. So I was like, okay, like, again, those traditional paths like weren't fitting what I wanted to do. And they definitely didn't fit my strengths. Like, my strengths were are trading and risk. They're not, you know, regular desk job. So I actually had a lot of leverage in the area I had experience, which was advantage play, trading, whatever, you know, gambling. And if I was to switch careers, I would lose a ton of leverage, right? I'd lose a ton of experience. So I was like, okay, I think that there's something to this, right? There's something to this sports betting thing. And the thing that really appealed to me was it scaled a lot better than poker. And what I mean is, like, in poker, you're still always trading time directly for money. So you could move up in stakes and you can make more per hour, but you're playing against tougher competition. It's hard, you know, it's hard to move up in stakes. You have to be much, much better to be betting $5,000 on a, you know, a tournament buy-in than you do to be betting, you know, $200 on a tournament buy-in, right? So whereas in sports betting, you know, you bet a line and it's the line, right? And if you can, there's a lot of skills around scale and getting down and building enough connections. But those were things I was willing to do because they existed and I knew they existed. So it's not like, so you're like, oh, you can't scale in sports betting. Well, you can. Everybody knows basically how to do it. It just takes a lot of work. And I was like, at this point in my life, I was willing, you know, the thing that kind of changed for me is I was willing to finally do a lot of work because I was like, poker wasn't working. I don't want to go get a normal desk job at an office. I don't have, it's not even a good decision with the skills I have. So I'm willing to do a lot of work now. So I thought, okay, well, you can scale in sports betting. Again, a lot of work, a lot. It's an accounting headache. It's a networking problem as much as it is a skill problem. But it's there. Whereas in poker, it's so much harder to scale. And at this point, I was very interested in scaling because I was interested about creating some stability, which means like I didn't want to always be having to like win money that month to cover my expenses and also not see anything like left over for me, knowing that these games don't last forever. You know, I want to be playing a long, long game that, you know, that is bigger than the small game I'm playing at the time to make money. I want to be stacking a war chest. So if sports betting goes away or poker goes away, I can transition to something else, right? I was focused on that bigger game. So I thought, great, like, let's go all in on this. So I came into sports betting with a much better attitude than I came into poker. And I came into sports betting with a lot less friction between me and success. I thought, you know, I couldn't have been set up better to succeed. And part of that was because of failing in poker, honestly. Like, it lit that fire. It was like I was being guided by both the carrot and the stick at the same time, which is a deadly, deadly combo. So briefly, I'll talk about some of the things that I found outside of just, you know, the technical stuff that helped me succeed and kind of achieve what I would say is like some pretty lofty goals within advantage play, within gambling. And, you know, I think number one is you have to be ruthless with your time and like sacrificing stuff that doesn't serve you. Because you're playing a really hard game here. And the reason I talk about like thinking about the game as a bigger game is it's not good enough to just be smart, or it's not good enough to just be a good modeler, or not good enough to just know a sport, because there's so many other levers that you can pull to make more money come out of the game, but it's a zero-sum game. So when someone, or it's like around a zero-sum game. So when someone's pulling more levers and making more money come out, you're losing more money. They're making the market more efficient, and like you can complain or whatever, but that's a direct hit on your bottom line. So like you have to take every advantage you can, both at, we would call in poker, at the table and away from the table. So, you know, this was cutting stuff that wasted my time. The biggest decision I had was to cut drinking and smoking pot. I think it was like Charlie Munger said, I don't think anybody's life became better because of drinking and doing drugs. I don't know if that's 100% true, but it seems about right to me. And like, I knew that I was trying to achieve lofty things, win at a hard game. You know, I was going to pull every lever I can, tip the deck in my advantage as much as possible. So someone who's better than me, more advanced than me, which was a lot of people, you know, if they one day a week, they go out drinking, they waste a night and a weekend day, while I'm working that night and I'm working that weekend day, fully rested. And eventually, if I stack enough of those days and work at the right stuff, I'm going to catch up, because I'm not going to catch up doing the same thing as them, putting in the same amount of work, right? So I'm going to have to catch up somewhere else. So I started, you know, sacrificing social engagements I didn't really want to go to. I cut drinking, I cut drugs. You know, I really just started focusing on being super protective of my time and my health, because I knew that I could, the best thing that you can do is give yourself more time. You can move at the same speed per hour, but if you give yourself more hours, you'll catch somebody. Or they could even move twice as fast per hour, but if they're comfortable and they're, you know, kind of sitting on their hands because they think they own XYZ market, well, you know, maybe they're only working 8 hours a week. You're working 50, 60 on the same problem. Eventually, you're just going to win, right? So comes to my second, I would say major difference is I really leaned on other people this time around in betting. And this means I have two other partners that work with me in betting, and we're all working on solving the same problem. So if you think about like the hour situation where someone who's an individual bettor who might be way smarter than me, right? And they're putting in a solid amount of work. Well, the three of us together thinking about the same problem and probably working harder, it's unstoppable. And the thing is, in this game, there's no like, it's not like basketball. You can only have five players on a team, right? So everyone chooses to have five players. Why? Because you'd be a massive disadvantage if you put four players on the floor and then the other team at five. Well, in this game, you can choose, there's no cap on the amount of people you can work with. Of course, there's a soft cap. Like it becomes a organizational nightmare if you have too many chefs in the kitchen, but it's worth sacrificing a percent of the pie to have a much, much bigger pie. And because I was thinking about this as like main goals to win, right? You first have to put yourself in a position to win. It's a hard game. So if I want to win, I want to throw as much as I can, build the strongest, you know, give ourselves the best chance at winning, and then go from there, right? So I'm less concerned about having 100% of myself, and more concerned about just becoming like tipping the odds, playing an unfair game, basically. Like you could be the best bettor in the world and you're just by yourself. You're not going to beat a well-capitalized, organized, relatively smart team of people trying to solve the same problem, right? And there's nothing against having multiple people, so take it. That was my second thing. And then my third thing was just being a bit more honest with myself and basically like just stop complaining. Like I found like I complained a lot in poker, made a lot of excuses. Here I decided like I would see other people, and if they were ahead of me, I would think they're probably doing something better than me. Like in poker, I was like, oh, Daniel Negreanu, he's such an idiot, blah, 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 blah. You know, in sports betting, I think like a good example is someone like Rufus, who had a podcast. And I was like, huh. At first I was like, oh, that's so stupid. He has a podcast. But obviously you're listening to this podcast, I've changed my mind. And having a podcast is part of, it gives you advantage at this game. It gives you connections. It gives you more outs. It gives you easier access to people who might want to collaborate with you. Like, Rufus is also a good sports bettor because he has a podcast. And there's no rule against having a podcast. So if you really want to do this, and you really want to tip the scales in your advantage, and this is me talking to myself, maybe have a podcast. You know, think outside the box, play the game, play the bigger game, not the, oh, I win 2% against the close, a penny game. Play the, I want to make money, I want to live, you know, XYZ life game, right? So focus on that game, not the small game. And then finally, I'd like to close with just some things I would recommend in terms of if you're trying to figure out what game you want to play, you know, what bigger game, what, you know, what goals, what life are you aiming for? Like I did, I would say like a happiest / saddest days journal, or just recap, you know, write some stuff down. If you find you've had like a really great day, just write some things down. It might be like, oh, I worked out. Okay. If you find that you're working out on a lot of your happiest days, maybe you need to make sure that you're doing something that allows you the time or the place to work out, right? Every day. And there's plenty of stuff that allows that, but that's like a minor example. And then you kind of start stacking on that, right? So just start keeping track and try and that's, to me, the way to be objective is, you know, be like, oh, today I feel pretty happy. It was a good day. What did I do? Write down your actions. You know, it doesn't have to be too cerebral or wishy-washy. Just what did I do? Boom, 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 boom. You see if a few things keep popping up more than others. And then go from there. The other is I would really suggest you get over the fear of having others see you fail. So I think something that scared me about a podcast, I was literally just talking about how, you know, doing a podcast is plus EV, which I think it totally is, but I was scared to do this for the longest time because I thought, oh, my friends will listen to it. They'll make fun of me, or, you know, people I don't know will make fun of me, or whatever it is. And that's fine, but I shouldn't, you know, if I really have these goals for my life, like that is shouldn't dictate what I do or don't do. And a lot of it's come true. I've had, you know, I think for the most part, my friends have been really supportive, but certainly had people, you know, make fun of me and whatever. And it's like not a bad price to pay, I would say. And I would recommend it. It's not as bad as you think. And you'll never, you know, if you think about it, like most people who do epic shit have, you know, kind of stuck their neck out there a little bit. So it's really not a bad price to pay. And if you're kind of on the fence about putting yourself out there, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, writing a blog or doing YouTube or podcasts, like putting yourself out there so you can maybe make some connections and, you know, also get better at whatever you're writing or making content about, say, do it, dude. The worst thing that happens is a lot of people make fun of you, which has happened to me. And you get up the next day and like the coffee tastes the same and your cat still likes you and you're totally fine. So I would, there's a lot of, you know, I would say like, it's very hard to put yourself out there where you're trying and somebody could see you fail, right? And that feels shitty because it's better to not try. So then no one can kind of make fun of you, because the reason that you didn't succeed is, you didn't want to, you didn't try. I would get rid of that. It doesn't really help you. And then the third is I would start thinking about like partnerships and what do you want out of a partner? That could be your like romantic partner. So I had a lot of, you know, I've been married for like a year and a half, dating my wife for 6. And before we started dating, I had a very strong criteria for like what I wanted out of a partner, and having her as the person I spend the most amount of time with, that's like an incredibly high leverage, you know, partnership, right? You're going to spend the most time with your significant other, and you have to be aligned, and you have to know that they're going to kind of give you the support of the space to achieve what you want to achieve, but it also has to be like what you both want to achieve, and you both have to want to kind of want the same things or communicate and work it out. And without a successful partnership there, you're dead in the water anywhere else. So that, and then business partners. So I've known one of my business partners since high school, and we, you know, have been, you know, friends forever, but I also very much respect him as a trader. And he's very, he's got a very like calming presence, and he's great to work with. No panic, just consistent. And then we've brought in one of his friends, and I didn't even have to really meet this guy for that long, knowing that, you know, my original partner spoke so highly of him. It was easy to just be like, okay, let's bring him in, right? And having that system in place and those good relationships, it seems like it would be impossible without them, like both from my wife or my business partner. So if you start thinking about like what kind of criteria you would like from either like a life partner, business partner, anything like that, so that you're kind of going out and pointing your efforts in the right direction and not getting kind of whipped around by your emotions, highly recommend. And that would be my advice. And I know this was a bit of a departure from the normal episode, but it's something that I like to think about a lot, is lessons I've learned through my career or gambling that have applied or had positive impacts in my everyday life. So I hope you like this episode. If you don't mind sharing it, that'd be awesome, since I'm still fighting to get my Twitter back. So that would be really helpful. Or tweet free GP at Twitter support or something. That also would be helpful. And thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.